Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 2:39 PM, and that is Central Time. Today is November 30th, so it's the end of the month, and we're definitely seeing some profit taking. But the reason for that is because Jay Powell was talking today and saying that they are looking at inflation. They don't want to start talking about it being transitory any longer, and that they anticipate potentially accelerating the pace of the taper. Well, there's been speculation about the acceleration of the pace of the taper. But then we had the Omicron variant popping up in the psyche of the market last week. And obviously Friday was not a particularly liquid day, and it resulted in the biggest downward dynamic we've seen in a while. Normally, you would think that the Federal Reserve might be a little bit more sensitive to the way that the market is perceiving the actions or the macro environment right now, but there doesn't seem to be much sensitivity to the statement that was made today. Of course, they are going to remain flexible in whatever they decide to do, but the fact is that they have said that they are thinking about accelerating the pace of the taper. Generally speaking, that would be positive for the dollar, but the dollar was in negative territory today. In fact, it was quite volatile. And if we look at it the other way around, the euro was a tad stronger. So when we think about what's going on right now, the euro is oversold, and we're seeing some pause of consolidation. And the size of the rallies we've seen in the euro during the downtrend since the peak back in May, they've all been in the order of about 3 cents. So the price has rallied now from 12 to 14, and it might go a little bit further. But in order for the euro to rally significantly, we would need to see something calamitous happen to the dollar. One of the primary reasons the dollar has been firm has been the relative strength of Wall Street, then the relative strength of the US economy and the pace of the expansion, and then additionally the willingness of the Federal Reserve to talk about the possibility of normalizing interest rate policy, because these are the factors that have contributed to the strength of the dollar. The Eurozone and Japan, they don't have a notion of anticipating inflation, and they're not in a position where they really have much choice. There's still about $13 trillion worth of bonds that are trading with a negative yield. And that's a significant tailwind, I should say, for the European and Japanese economies. It allows, or it affords their governments the opportunity to borrow at extraordinarily low rates. And anything they invest in should generate a better return than a negative return. So that's obviously something that's helping to ensure that there's an economic recovery, but because they're both very much export oriented, excuse me, I just need to cough. Well, then what that also suggests is that they need a stronger global economy in order for their currencies to do better and for them to even begin to think about normalizing policy. So as we look around the market, we've seen that the kind of risk-off environment that's been developing over the course of the last few days, well, it's creating some demand for bonds. So 10-year Treasury yields are contracting, and they came back down to test that 1.4% level in here today. So at least that is suggesting that bond investors have used this the pop-up in yields to buy some. And there's the potential here that we might see some additional contraction, because while the Federal Reserve likes to talk a good game, are they really in the mood for trying to prick the kind of bubbly activity that we've had in the wider market? Now, when we think about where some of that bubbly activity has been focused, well, the ARK Innovation ETF was in negative territory again in here today. It's coming back down to test the psychological 100 level. And of course, investors know what happened last time. back in May, June, it rebounded impressively by about 30% in the space of a month from that 100 level. So there will be some people willing to buy the dip, but there will also be stops underneath the market. So in the absence of a buy the dip movement starting to form around the 100 level, well then there's the potential that stops might start getting hit. And of course, that is very much tied to what happens in terms of the willingness of the Federal Reserve to continue to talk a hawkish game about raising interest rates and normalizing policy overall. The SPAC index was also in negative territory today. It's been trending lower. And if we, I think, look at this on just a daily basis, we get, I think, a better picture of what exactly has been going on, even though we don't have an awful lot of back history. So it did rally sufficiently to break the sequence of higher reaction of lower rally highs, sorry, in October and early November, but now it's starting to ease back again. And these are largely unprofitable companies. Then we can also think about the Nasdaq. It's dominated by profitable companies, but those that are trading on rich valuations. And I think the most important point is that the primary consistency characteristic of the trend up from the lows in 2020 has been the tendency of ranges to form one above another. So we're not all that far away from the peak from back in September. And in an ideal world, that level will hold. We can also see that the index is beginning to test support around the region of the 100-day moving average. The one on the chart right now is the 200-day moving average. And in a strongly trending environment, it's quite normal for prices to find support in the region of the 100-day moving average because it represents where the momentum traders are starting to come back in. So the S&P 500 now is weaker again today. And in fact, 497 of the constituents were in negative territory. So we're talking about a 99% down day. And that represents a lot of capitulation. So there's almost nothing was in positive territory today. The two sort of, I guess, the name shares that were in positive territory today were Pfizer and Apple. So the extremely large cap companies continue to attract interest because they do have profits and they are likely to benefit from the potential for another stay-at-home mandate. So people are starting to look at those types of opportunities. And this is still a consistent trend for the S&P 500. It is due, it has been overbought, it's due consolidation. We're getting the consolidation. Provided it holds the 4,500 level, and another day on the downside like today would certainly test to that level, well, then it's still a consistent trend overall. And does anybody really believe that the Federal Reserve is willing to impose discipline on the market? Well, they might be. And Jay Powell, after his inauguration, was willing to persist with quantitative tightening for about another 8 or 9 months. And then he got a 20% pullback and they started cutting interest rates. Well, they're not in a position to cut interest rates very much more. And then the question is, will they start to pump money back into the system? So we're still in a corrective phase overall, and there's obviously the potential that if the trend is going to remain consistent, it'll bounce really quite soon. Then we can also look at some of the deflationary forces that are starting to emerge because oil prices have pulled back violently again in here today. So we had a very large move on the downside last week, and then it was down another $3 in here today. It's now trading below the trend mean for the first time in months, and this looks like a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. More importantly than that, it looks like a failed upside break above 80. And well, then the big question is, if this is a completing top formation and we have a massive reaction against the prevailing trend now, well, then will the range take place below the trend mean? And higher oil prices have been one of the significant contributing factors in inflationary pressures. Then in the USA, natural gas prices are also starting to come back down. There's warmer weather on the horizon, so natural gas is starting to give up the most recent test of the $6 area, and it was down another 24 cents in here today. And despite the cold weather that we're seeing in Europe, there is certainly the potential for what is an increasingly a globally fungible natural gas market to provide additional gas to Europe, and particularly as prices in North America start to come back down again. So the UK natural gas price is still holding around the 250 area. And it's rather disappointing that that monthly chart doesn't really put in this enormous spike higher that we had in October. But it does look increasingly likely that 250 pounds is about as high as it's going to go. When we then think about European stock markets, well, the Eurostox index is now right back in the region of the trend mean. There's been a significant loss of momentum over the last few months, and any potential for the euro to rally is going to take additional is going to weigh heavily on the index. With even a modest rally in the yen, the Nikkei has also started to come back, and it was down over 400 points in here today, and now trading back below the trend mean. So this is looking a little bit more dangerous than it has done for a while. And when we then think about the second section, which is so often a lead indicator for the market, it's also trading back below the trend mean. So Japan has locked back down again, and they've closed internal or flights into the country. So they're taking the Omicron variant seriously. And we're still in an environment where there's a lot of uncertainty. So, for example, we've had today the Moderna CEO saying that vaccines are going to have trouble dealing with it. Then we had, I think it was Glaxo, saying they didn't have any evidence that there was any problem with the vaccines, but they don't have results of tests either. Then we've also had the figures from people saying in South Africa that there were only 7 people tested who had mild symptoms in the original press release. But one thing that does seem to be happening in South Africa is that the number of infants being hospitalized is increasing. Now, quite whether that is true or not, or the extent to which it's true, doesn't really matter at this stage, but it's an enormously emotive headline. So there is obviously the potential that you're going to have parents freaking out, and that's obviously something that's going to weigh on economic activity, because so far the primary victims of COVID have been elderly and sick people, and the degree of urgency that people tend to have for babies is going to be significantly more intense. So what happens in the next week or two, and particularly who ends up in hospital with this new variant, is going to have a significant impact on the wider market. So we have oil prices that are coming down, bond yields that are coming down, and what this is increasingly looking like is the potential for deflationary forces to start to take precedence. So central banks might well be behind the curve. Now, we can also look at the semiconductors index, because we had the downside key reversal last week, and then it rebounded yesterday, and now it was weaker again in here today. And the semiconductors index is obviously one of those that has been best performing over the course of the last 18 months, but it's also enormously cyclical. And we've seen that shares like Samsung and Taiwan Semiconductor have begun to roll over, and the semiconductors index has continued to march higher. And a good part of the reason for that has been because of the continued strong performance of companies like Nvidia and AMD. But Nvidia is starting to pause around this area as well. So we're certainly in a more dangerous stock market environment. And then we can also think about gold, because if safe havens are starting to rally, like the yen and the dollar, although the dollar was in negative territory today, well, gold prices were in negative territory as well. Having been up in early trading, they reversed the earlier advance and closed on the low of the day. So it's now breaking down from this short-term range and coming back to test the sequence of higher reaction lows. Gold is an asset that should do well in an environment where we're going to have further debasement of the currency in order to support the economy. But as long as we're still in an environment where people are worried more about the outlook for the potential for the monetary accommodation to be withdrawn rather than increased, well, that's putting pressure on the gold price. Then the other point is that during times of stress, gold often sells off and then rebounds in a very abrupt manner. So there's the potential, at least, that it may test on the downside before it tests on the upside. So it's certainly something that is worth watching, because we are coming back into a potential area of support, and gold shares were also in negative territory today and testing the lower side of this 4-day range that's been forming. But we're still around the $30 area, which is the lower side of the emerging first step above the base. And it's certainly for the bulls still to prove in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And of course, if gold were to bounce from where it is right now, that would certainly lend some credence to the view that we're coming towards the end of this lengthy correction phase. As we look around the world, there's really the potential that central banks are going to make a mistake and try to tighten ahead of inflationary pressures actually turning over. A lot of the inflationary pressures we've seen have been because of supply chain issues, and those supply chain issues don't last indefinitely. And then we've also had the big pop on the upside from oil prices, but again, that's also because of the surge in demand and the reticence of the suppliers to increase supply. So it's not like we have to go out and find new oil. And we know where factories are, but there is a lot of uncertainty. So these are all contributing to profit taking right now. And there's obviously going to be buying opportunities ahead, but not until we start to see central banks turning around and starting to ease back on some of their more hawkish activity. And that might take a while. So that would suggest that it's particularly important to monitor the consistency of trends right now. And Wall Street is still in a consistent trend. It hasn't even pulled back by 5% yet. So there is still potential that these trends will remain consistent. But we'll probably find that out before the end of this week. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.